Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite. Chuck Miller Lite. One of those like a ho hum. How you doing, Jack? Like they lost 2 or 3 and stopped the first two. It's like, oh, here we go, September. Two like just gut-wrenching ways to lose baseball games, like just like kick us in the junk to start September. Yep, feels right. But like coming out of the series, still up 5 in the wild card, lost a little ground on Chicago. You want to watch that? But it was like, you know, pretty anticlimactic. I feel like we came off August and it was like every time we did a pod, it's like, yo, like there's like something crazy that just happened. And now it's just like, all right, well, you know, they lost 2 or 3. We'll get back at it on today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Today. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so usually what happens for us is they win the first two games of a series, and then we're recording on a Sunday or the next day. They always lose that third game.
Like, so lock it up. Like that's what they do for us. Yeah.
So they changed course here, which was an interesting move. Like, had we recorded Friday night, I don't know if the podcast would still be standing today.
Oh, it was for it to be September 1st and for them to, like, lose that game like that was just almost too on brand, almost too on the nose.
Yeah, I mean, and now we know what it's like to have been a Red Sox fan before 2004, because similar style of heartbreak, you know, the Buckner ball and Alec Bohm's ball. I think both key games, big games, I would say. So, yeah, it was good to share something with the Red Sox fan. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Yesterday kind of changed a lot of the narrative that I think would have headed into this podcast, which, like, I mean, the bullpen was lights out yesterday. Meanwhile, on Saturday and Friday, they were not.
Yeah, Alvarado alone, like just that one guy one way to the other was a completely different thing.
I know. And
Alec Bohm. I mean, it's like essentially all I could think about the whole, like, is like the Josh Hader moment versus that moment. It was like total opposite ends of the spectrum for a human being in a building, you know?
Yeah, but then he obviously hits the big home run yesterday, and everything. But I can't believe that got out, by the way. I mean, again, like, I feel like I've seen Ryan Braun hit that ball out like 1,000 times, and Ryan Braun was also on something, so it was a little different. But the nice part about Alec Bohm is that, you know, I think that happens, obviously, last year pre, I bleeping hate this place. I think that sends Alec Bohm into a tailspin. But where we're at with Alec Bohm now is that he just bounces back. He's a couple hits Saturday, makes every play defensively, has a big home run Sunday, and it's like just a blip in the radar. And I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, this team and the prior teams, is that when it feels like it's teetering, they're usually pretty good at bouncing back, and they're usually pretty good at not letting it avalanche. Now, early in the season, it avalanched a lot. It was just awful. But since they found their groove and they figured it out, like, I'm not going to say it because then it's going
to
happen.
Don't say it.
Like,
just keep it to yourself.
Yep. That's what we do on podcasts. We don't talk.
yes. We don't say the things on our mind. That is the point
exactly.
of this podcast. Yeah.
Exactly.
What people come here for.
Yep. But they've been.
Hear
they've
us
been,
say, oh, I've got something interesting to say. Oh, no, wait. You know what? I shouldn't say it. I'm not going.
It's not that interesting. It's just jinxable. And I don't want to put
I know,
that.
I know.
I don't want to put the fans through that because I care. Like, dude. Losing the way they lost on Wednesday and then Friday, it's just like no human being should have, like, sports fan should have to go through.
Back.
Yeah. Like, it was awful. Just an awful 72-hour period or whatever.
But there's one important caveat here. They walked it off on Wednesday on Bryce Harper's 300th home run. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
My
here,
bad.
But I get kind of what you're going for, but I don't totally get it. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally. Yep. Yeah. It's good. That's good. Way to stay committed to the bit. Usually I stay committed to bits.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
trying to look out for you, buddy.
That's a good assist. That's a good assist. So yeah, so, like, you know, but they've been pretty good at, like, you know, not letting a lot of things avalanche. And, well, besides 27. besides him, they're all right at it. And that's why, like, I don't have this overwhelming sense of dread with the bullpen, you know, that I think a lot of people have. And it makes sense. It's been something that has scarred us for a couple of years here.
We saw the worst in the history of the sport. That'll, you know, leave a mark.
That'll make you feel horrible. But, like, the way that the guys they have back there, the stuff that they have, you know, is there going to be outings where they're all over the place? Like Gregory Soto, of course. Is there going to be, you know, Alvarado's more shocking when it happens than not, especially.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he's coming back still. I think if like he still doesn't look like the dude who, you know, like the velocity's back and that's exciting and you see it and you're like, whoa, there it is. And, you know, the pop and stuff, but he hasn't looked as dynamic as he was before. Like, he's still getting there. You know?
Yeah. I thought yesterday was finally the first time where it's like, oh, there's the cutter that just goes right under.
Dude, same thought.
And they need that. Sir Anthony also back-to-back good outings, which is much needed. Again,
and Kimbrel looked great yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't know.
You know, like, got the job done.
Because with Kimbrel, you know, if his velocity was at, like, 94 or, like, sitting around there and didn't have that same kind of pop, I'd be like, that's cause for concern. But, like, even during this down period, he still has been, you know, he's been throwing decently hard. His command has been off a little bit, which is concerning, but he's still throwing decently hard. But, like, last year's bullpen versus this year's bullpen, I mean, it was pretty much just Sir Anthony and Alvarado in the postseason. I mean, David Robertson, like, would go out there and pitch, but it wasn't, like, good ever, it felt like.
The talent level this year is just...
It's so much different. It's so,
like,
much different.
Even, like, Soto, you know, who's a hit-or-miss guy right now, I mean... just the arm talent on that guy compared to Robertson or who, you know, the other Bilotti, the Brogdon, like the guys they were bringing in games last year. Like it's not the same, you know?
No. And you have to hope that when you get into the postseason and you get into these bigger games and maybe the weather turns a little bit, that like,
and velocity matters. Velocity does matter. Like that's one of those adages that matters in October. Like it does.
Again, a lot of things are funny about the Phillies, but the funniest is for years of us just begging for them to sign guys to throw hard.
Mike Morin out there throwing 70 miles an hour. It's like, just get a guy who throws 100.
Blake Parker. I mean, Blake Parker was captain, like, split changeup that he threw over and over again. And now they have the hardest throwing bullpen in baseball. I mean, they're averaging 96.3 miles an hour out of the bullpen. Like,
think about it. They all, like, every single one of them throws freaking heat. Like, Alvarado, Strom, Serenity, like, the whole group, they all, like, bring gas, man. Soto, obviously.
I mean, Strom probably throws the softest.
And yeah, like, well, him and Kimbrough are the two softest, and they're both like 94, 96. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's a good time to be alive. So, you know, yesterday, I actually thought Rob Thompson had a really smart day yesterday, because with Yelich and Frelick on the bench, like, he didn't give them any opportunities until the ninth to pinch hit, so he kept putting lefties in there, so they couldn't bring them out of the, you know, bring them off the bench, which I thought was smart. But yeah, it's just... You know, Friday sucked, and I get it, but it was just a normal, like, series loss. Like, they're going to lose series, like they are. It is what it is. The offense, I still thought, looked pretty good. You know, I thought that was one concern I think a lot of people had, is that they go on the road, the offense lacks. But the Brewers have, like, a sick staff. Now, they didn't face Burns, so, like, that helps. But, like, the offense...
the bullpen, like, that bullpen's awesome. And
first off, I'm shocked that the Phillies have the hardest throwing bullpen in baseball, because I feel like everyone for the Brewers comes out with 100 with, like, two inches of sink. So, like, you know, I think it's important that the offense carried over and didn't go into a tailspin when they... faced a good Brewers staff, and Wheeler was really good still, and I thought Ranger actually, you know, looked more like Ranger than we'd seen before he went on the IL.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Trey Turner, just, I mean, okay, like I'm not in my wildest dreams of a turnaround that I imagine we'd see, but again, the dude just keep like clutch hit after clutch hit, clutch home run after clutch home run. It's been unbelievable.
Well, and that's why I was surprised he struck out. I thought Saturday was.
I was shocked. Shocked, dude.
I was like, is he really gonna do this again?
I expect him to come through in every situation now. It's unbelievable. Like you said, that, you know, Bomad the big homer. I think from an offensive perspective, the way they battled again, coming back in that game Friday night in the first place to take the lead was awesome. And this team yet again, you know, yesterday goes down, comes back to win the game, just the hallmark of what they are. And, you know, it is just ironic, I guess, and funny that what was the stat? They were 7-0, right? And then they lose back-to-back games that Schwarber leads off for the home run. Was kind of funny. I didn't think about it until it happened. But, you know, look, I, you lose 2-3 in Milwaukee, but you lose 2-3 that you could have won either of those two games. It's a really good Milwaukee team. You're Milwaukee, to your point. I'm not freaking out. That last one was important, and you don't lose ground or on the grand scale.
Yeah, well, and think about the Brewers. You know what's so funny? Is that August we talked about was, like, the most magical, like, baseball month we've had.
Oh, the Brewers were better. Yeah,
dude, the Phillies had the sixth best record in August. I know. Like, again, like the way that we talked about it was like they didn't lose a game, but like I think the Dodgers went 23-4.
Yeah, the Dodgers were insane, like insane in the month. I know.
Mariners were insane. Yeah. So, and the Brewers before that series, I think they'd won like 10 of 11, maybe.
Yeah, they had a 9-game winning streak in there before that, like, and then yeah, they've been white hot, like white
yeah hot. Which again, how
I do I just for the last 5 years, how I haven't understood a single, like that, like, yeah, I get Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff are good and Freddie Peralta is good, like that's it. I don't know, they just, like, it seems like, and yeah, we'll pick up guys, like they're like, yeah, sure, we'll take, you know, that guy off the scrap heap. Oh, boom, he's like Rowdy Tellez, boom, dude rakes. Like, it's just like, I don't get it.
I hate that.
So
I think I would handle losing to the Brewers in a playoff series worse than losing to Gabe and the Giants.
I agree with that.
Maybe not. I might say, well, I don't know.
They're very similar. They're both like you look at the roster, you look at it again, you're like going through all 25, 26 guys, like, what's happening? And then you're like, how? I don't get it. How are you winning baseball games?
If this Phillies team with this payroll lose to that team, I will be inconsolable. Yes. Like, I just
agree.
That's not something that should be allowed in baseball. That's my Rob Manfred step in. Like, Joey Weimer. It's like, how does he ever get a hit? Like, if you just throw him a slider, he's swinging at it. And he's got the, it's quirky. It's all, I guess the Brewers' defense is that they say, well, what we do is we pitch and play unbelievable defense. Like, sick. Sounds horrible. Yeah, like, go hit some dingers.
Way to play baseball. Like, come on.
Oh, go get Mark Kanya.
That's the guys who have been like, defense doesn't matter. And then as soon as the season starts, God, defense really matters every single year.
I mean, what a bunch of dorks. I mean, I seriously.
Them getting Mark Kanya, I was like, all right, screw you guys. Enough.
Yeah, and Lois is back, and he's you know, taking us deep, which I didn't appreciate.
I was not very kind of Carlos Santana.
Do you think Carlos Santana, do you think he remembers he was a Philly at all?
No. Like, I mean, maybe because of the TV thing. That's the only reason. Like,
I played for them? When?
No, you know, it's probably one of those things where, like, he'll be telling a story. I'll be like, yeah, you know, I got a great story. One time I had to smash the TVs. Where was that? Huh? Where did I, you know, it's one of those. And it's there's like, where was that? And in Kansas City, I did. Oh, was it Philly? You know, that kind of thing. That's how he remembers his time in Philly. Yeah,
exactly. It was he was the original Schwarber argument.
Oh yeah,
he was the
leadoff, third base, the whole thing. We had some fun with Santana.
He was batting .220. Yep. You know, but he played elite first base defense, and the one thing about Santana would have been much better if he could hit like 25 homers.
Oh yeah.
He's strictly
old Santana. Like, when Santana was an Indian, like, that player was a damn good baseball player, and he's had a nice career. Like, don't get me wrong, Carlos Santana has done a nice job, like, had a really nice baseball career, but he was really, like, it was a top prospect when he came up too, but like, old Santana was legit. Like, he was a good baseball player.
Remember when he was a catcher.
That's right, you're damn right. He was, buddy. He was traded for the Indians, traded for the Dodgers to get him.
Well, really? He was a Dodger?
He was a Dodger prospect.
Well, how cool is it that he was a switch hitting catcher, wore 41 for V-Mart, and then eventually became a first baseman.
V-Mart has one of my favorite individual player quirk things in all of sports history. That, and I'm sure there are other guys who had it, but V-Mart was the only one I knew. That every team he was ever on, he used to have an individual handshake for every single player on the team. So all 26 guys, he had his own handshake with each dude. And if someone came up, he'd have a new handshake. That's dedication.
It's a lot of handshakes.
That's what I'm saying. Just remembering all those handshakes and knowing, I always liked that about V-Mart. That made me a V-Mart guy.
I think V-Mart is much like Maglio or Ordonez, one of the more underappreciated players of from 2005, from 2005 to 2014, the most underrated players in baseball for me were V-Mart, Adrian Gonzalez, who every year was
totally
just
great guy for that.
Great guy. I pulled him on a Rangers. Yeah. Rangers.
He was like a 340 guy.
Dude, he was so awesome. Good.
I know.
Maglio was super underrated.
Maglio, Konerko, we've talked about Konerko. Him. He was super underrated. Yeah, there are some dudes in there that just kind of get lost.
Dude, you know? V-Mart's swing was just beautiful.
I loved him. Switch hitting catcher also.
Yeah. Travis Hafner.
Hafner, Pronk. Yeah. That dude, great guy. He had a couple of years where he was just hitting bombs.
Yeah. They go from Tomei to Hafner. And it's like, we'll be all right. So go Phils. Obviously.
Grid talk, just diving in.
So go Phils. That Brewers team, I get it. Like, you guys want to play defense, but when what makes it way worse than anything in the entire existence as a baseball fan is when I have to watch my bullpen slash starter meltdown on Saturday, and it's like at the hands of Tyrod Taylor or
Tyrone Taylor. Exactly right. It's such a perfect way to put it. It's like, no, you're right. It's like losing to Tyrod Taylor. It's like in football. I'm happy you said Tyrod, because that's the exact same feeling. You're so right. It's like, how is this dude doing this?
He's betting 204.
Yes.
I'm a batting average guy when it's not about Schwarber.
I get it. Yes, pick and choose. All right, well, let's get to that, because that was the clear most disappointing part of the entire weekend. Friday was way worse. But I mean, like, you know, it was, all right, you know, Nola looking good. You know, with 7 shutouts, 7-2 runs. We're starting to get there. And then it was like the most Aaron Nola outing ever. Like, it was just like, yeah, that guy. There he is. I know that guy really, really well. I almost cursed. I almost said really bleeping well. I didn't. I know that guy really bleeping well.
Dude, I was sitting there. I was outside. My friend came over, and he's just doing it again.
Yep.
And I'm like, I want it to end. Like, I want it to be over. I want the whole roller coaster ride and the whole everything that comes with the Aaron Nola talk about experience. I don't want to do it. I screamed uncle on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't, because every time I start believing, you know, and it's like, oh, there he goes, like, you know, bang. 7 runs to the freaking Brewers on a Saturday night, coming off a game where they have an unbelievable late comeback, and if Alec Boehm just can field a ground ball, they probably win that game. Jeff Hoffman comes in and it's like a hero.
He was great. Hoffman was so great, man. I feel bad for that guy, because it'll just get forgotten because of the Boehm error. But like, to come in and get that strikeout and to get a ground ball there was like a really outstanding job.
Well, and then immediately talk smack.
I know.
Which was clearly like, he was definitely, if I could go inside the mind of Jeff Hoffman in that moment, he was mad at how happy the Brewers were for scoring there, and he was saying, "I got you out."
I agree.
Do not be happy. I totally
agree with you, which is fair. I think he's right about that.
Well, it's a very Fritz move to make.
Such a Fritz move. He definitely ingratiated himself to you with that one.
I saw him, and I was like, you know what, Jeff? I've been there. Now, like, it happens in, you know, Babe Ruth or Legion or high school, a little different than, you know, in the big leagues, but similar mentalities. So what can you do? And then Saturday, you're just sitting there and you see it coming. You see, like, the worst part about an Aaron Nola start, when it starts going bad, is like just the body language completely shifts. It like the first inning, dude, he comes out freaking 95 mile an hour seeds.
Striking, and I'm like, dudes out, like, boom, boom, yep.
And the second it turns, shoulders shrug, everything slows down. You get, like, you know, a little down about yourself, and all of a sudden you look up and like 5 runs are on the board, and it's like, well, why? Like, why? He's what makes it so much worse is that, you know, he's so much better. Yeah. Like, obviously, that's, like, not breaking news, but, like, that's what makes the Aaron Nola existence, or, like, the experience so frustrating, is that, like, you know it.
Yeah, you know it doesn't just have to be that way. Yeah.
Just bear the frick down and do, like, you can let up runs. I don't care. Like, just, it can't be the 5 runs. It can't be eventually getting into 7, which I know they were inherited runners. Just keep it at 2. I'm not asking for shutouts, but the offense is raking right now. Like, just when things are going bad, bear down and get out of it. And like, that's been the home runs are obviously a problem for him this year. But like we said 2 starts ago, you can allow your solo home runs, whatever. It's the extending of innings that is totally, you know, jacked up this season. And Saturday it was like, we're here again. Never believe is the official statement. Never believe. Yeah. If he does it, great. If he does it, awesome. Like, if he goes on a run, we're winning the World Series. But like, do not let yourself believe. That's my goal. That's my the main message of this podcast. Don't believe, and just hope. How about that?
I hope it's not a strategy. You've mentioned that before with Harrison. It's the only strategy with Aaron Nola. There is no other strategy. I'm very with you. And I even when I like these last few starts, like oh, maybe he'll be good. Like, I didn't think he would be. I hoped. Like, there was no part of me that last night actually truly believed Aaron Nola was going to go out and shove. I hoped. I maybe convinced myself it was possible. I didn't actually truly believe it because that's where it is. It is what it is with this guy. Like, done. I'm not. But like, and look, could he go out and shove? Sure, of course he could. You know, yeah. I'm never, ever, 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 ever count on it. Like, it's what it is. And to your point, the very first thing you said, like, yes, I can't wait for it to be done too. I'm going to pray we get a little run out of the guy. Then good luck, Rangers fans or Astros fans, no. Wherever the hell signs him. Like,
he's a
luck.
Cardinal. He's Cardinals a Cardinal
fan. You're right. Yeah. Then he'll shove in St. Louis with the best fans in baseball and heaven. Baseball heaven. Yeah. All right.
I'm just saying this now because I can already tell where this is going. This is gonna get clipped when Aaron Nola is
World Series MVP and yeah. He's holding the trophy up. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Wait, come on, you know. You know what we do here, guys. Come on.
And let me just say this: it'll be worth it.
Oh my God, he's gonna play it over and over again. Play it to Aaron Nola's face. I'll stand there. I will stand there and listen, like watch Aaron Nola listen to this clip in like the after they win. I'd be happy to. I'll sit there and take it.
I would not. I know
you would melt.
Yes, I would melt.
It would be a puddle on the ground. Yeah, yeah. I
do not. No. That would not. That's not. That's not me.
Trust me, I know. I would handle it for us. Don't worry. Okay. All right. Two last things before take bag for me. Just quickly because you mentioned it. Your thoughts on Ranger because it seemed like you were actually pretty optimistic coming off that outing.
Yeah. I thought he had pretty good command on both sides. I thought his curveball had a little bit of extra action to it. And what had me, I guess, feeling, you know, pretty positive after it was he got a couple of those ground balls back to him, which I feel like that's when you can tell Rangers going kind of well, is ground ball back to him, and he's just, you know, being one of the best fielding pitchers in baseball. He was able to turn it double play. Like, he looked kind of spry out there. You know, he didn't have one rehab start. I mean, I know he's like throwing to live hitters, but like, it's not like he had one start down in AAA or anything.
Not
so,
the same to just step right in. I agree.
So, you know, you kind of take that outing and just the fact that the bullpen after the weekend and the last week and a half really, was able to kind of get in there and do their job. I mean, that's some big stuff. And that's what they did the whole first 2 or 3 months of the season was like, it felt like the starters outside of June would go like 4 innings and then bang, the bullpen would just kind of take care of the rest. And then the starters kind of got hot. And, you know, it's interesting because I feel like if they throw more, you know, obviously don't throw too much because then they get burnt out. But the more they throw, I feel like they have better feel for stuff. But when the starters start going deeper into games, obviously it means less work for everyone involved besides like Kimbrel. So yesterday and this weekend, I feel like a lot of guys threw, and hopefully they all kind of start righting the ship and going a little run here.
Yeah, that's huge. And especially with Ranger, because I think, look, no matter how this plays out, even if Nola goes on a stretch here where he's great to end the season, like all Phillies fans are going to trust Ranger more in a big spot than Nola. We all are. I know you and I will, that's for sure. So, you know, like seeing Ranger look good going into the playoffs would certainly do a lot for my mental psyche, Jack. That would be big. All right, last thing. And it's a weird one. We've had some weird ones. You always bring up, you know, like the weird positional things, like having the worst bullpen ever, having the worst center fielder for the first. So, yeah, we always are the worst. This is not a specific worst or best, but like the JT home run thing is freaking weird, man. Like, he really does look like a different guy. Like, we hadn't been on the road much, like, during the 19 out of 23 or whatever at home. So it was just like, wow, JT stinks. You got to forget. And then they go to Milwaukee, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. Like, that dude's good. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, so he's at home. He's batting 201 with a 601 OPS. And then on the road, he's batting 308 with a 963 OPS. Like,
yeah.
He is one of the best players in baseball on the road, and he is horrible at home. Yeah. Like it's very weird. And
it feels like old school Coors, like those specific splits feels like the dudes from Coors in the 90s, you know?
Yes. Well, and like Rob Thompson, I know he joked about it with the four kids thing.
I know.
Which is a great line. But at the same time, like, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I think they come on the road. I guess they probably not every road trip, but I don't know. It's just whatever. I mean, if they have to go on, they're going to have to go on the road in the DS and the CS, but,
yeah.
And obviously hopefully the World Series. Garrett Stubbs start every home game and JT just play on the road? Is that what we're going for here?
I guess. I mean, it's so weird, dude. It is like, again, it is reach and it's, you know, it's reached the point of like, that's really weird. And I don't know what to say about it anymore. Like, it's not like that's fluky. It's like, this is weird. It's the full season now. Well, like, what's going on here?
Well, and he also hit a ball. Like, I mean,
the one at center field, the homer, yeah. Like that was, he crushed that baseball. Yeah,
that ball's destroyed.
That, he just like smoked it. Like,
it's like, I mean, if that's at Citizens Bank Park, I mean, that's
over the freaking trees out there.
It's
like,
killing the bricks. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what to say either. I think this is why it never felt like JT was really killing them, because like, I guess his road numbers are just carrying up his entire kind of offensive season.
Yeah.
But once again, they are so good at having bits. You know,
well, it is. They're the best ever at bits, Jack. It's so funny.
We are a podcast of bits. Yeah, yes. and it's nice that the baseball team has translated that. It's
what
good.
What a great point by you. Like such a perfect team for this podcast.
I had it written down in the take back. There's more bits. The bits they have going on right now are out of control. So the more bits the Phillies have is, they hit a big clutch home run late. Everyone's freaking out. This team's going to the World Series, and then immediately blow it, which is not a fun bit to go through. But as a bit podcast, like perspective,
pretty good.
And their most consistent bit is obviously they go down early, and they're and they can't hit until the seventh, and then they just wake up and win the game. They are a bit team that life's a bit. And they are clearly committed to that.
It's really funny,
It's every game. It's every freaking game. They go down. Everyone melts down about the starter. The starter goes six innings, and they can't hit for the first five innings. Like, when was the last time that they just came out and won a baseball game? Just like went up 2-0, and then 5-0, and then whatever. Just like. Won a baseball game. I don't have an answer, because they just don't do it. They don't do it. They don't show up and say, here's six runs in the first three innings and you can kick your feet up. Every single Phillies game goes one of two ways. They get down early, they come back, and it could turn into a lapper, but it usually takes five innings. Or it's late, they're tied or down by one. Harper Turner hit a great home run. Schwarber, and then the bullpen blows it. Like, that's every single, like, it's a script for the season. It's very simple. They will never, ever win a baseball game again.
Yeah, it's, you're not wrong, buddy. You're not wrong.
can you remember? I mean, seriously, can you remember?
Yeah, like, so, they won, I mean, not huge, but big. They won that 3-0, that St. Louis game where they would just, like, kind of won it, and it was just, like, a 3-0 win. It was like, okay, that's 3-0, you know? And, I feel like all the blowout games they've won, they were down and then came back later and then ended up like making it into a laugher. No, there are not many. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a few in there, but yes, the point is I totally agree with this.
They just don't do it again.
Like, that's that. And I haven't kept up with it, but at one point it was like 21 of 25 or like they've like whatever it is, like 24 of their 30 wins since the All-Star break are come from behind. Like, you know, I mean, whatever that stat is now, like, it's crazy.
Dude, they are down. Every game,
it's
they are down. Every like now, when Schwarber hits a leadoff home run, honestly, stop batting him leadoff.
Yeah,
like
you got to go down. You can't take the lead. That's not.
We do not.
We don't know how to handle ourselves.
You will never find a human being more comfortable being down 2-0 than Phillies fans this year.
So
like,
funny.
Like it's every game, dude. It's every game. Mm-hmm. But the bit of and like think about we talked about this last podcast, but the Harper home runs they've wasted.
And now the Turner. Like, I know.
That's a bit I don't enjoy.
Yeah, it's
personally,
it's kind of the worst bit. Let's
no, it's the worst. Yeah, there's nothing because it's such a high. Like when Turner hit that home run.
Like only for your bullpen to just blow a game, like it happens. It's frustrating. Like we hate it. Like it's another thing when you blow a game after you have the euphoric moment of I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe we're gonna win now, and then you lose. Like it's so much worse.
Well, and they're wasting like so many yearbook moments again. Wow. Like I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, think about it. The Turner home run, like that could have been the back-to-back home runs off of Hader last year.
Yeah, it could have. Like, right.
Instead, no one's gonna remember the trip. Well. People will, but no one's going to really remember the Trey Turner home run on Friday night.
No.
It was funny because I was at a wedding, and it was the first game that like I didn't see until the seventh or whatever. And being able to get home, by the way, Walker was great. First time away, which is very exciting.
Look for you about it. It's very exciting.
Just a winner. But we did leave early because, like, you know, we're not gonna get it.
That's the point of having a kid. You can use it as an excuse.
Oh, I love it. I love being able to, hey, first-time parents, we got to get home. I'm sorry.
It's amazing.
Nothing we can do. Sorry. And everyone's pretty understanding. You know, that's the nice part. Yeah, parents understand parents.
That's right.
But I get home, sit down. I had, a bit guy. I had Rally Fritz going.
There you go.
And then Trey does it. And I'm like, this freaking guy, like that's all he does. That's all he does is hit big home runs. So whatever. It was a good time. It was actually probably the least Phillies baseball. Like I went back and rewatched the game today. But yesterday I was golfing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see a second of it.
Well, look at you a whole weekend away, buddy.
I just got a notification that they won. And I was like, wow.
There you go.
Should I never watch again?
Some are saying, you know.
Some are saying. all right. Are you ready for the take back?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, I've got a draft to go to and you're just milking it. And no, I'm just kidding. No, I know. Seriously, though, shout out to Miller Lite Bar of the Week. I actually love this place. So my mom this is like my mom's favorite place. My mom lives in Doylestown now. She goes here all the freaking time. This place is great. I've been there. Zoe's been there. The whole crew. Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week. The Station Tap House in Doylestown where you can watch all Phillies game with $4. Miller Lite Pint Specials. Go to thestationtaphouse.com. Have spent many a meal at the Station Tap House. It is a great place with great beer, great Miller Lite there. Go have a good time.
I was golfing at Wilmington Country Club yesterday, and round was done. Went in, had a crisp Miller Lite, and
as
was
you
like,
should.
I usually just drink them. You know, obviously at home, but like they had the mug that was frosted.
Oh, it's
into
amazing.
The Miller Lite.
Oh, it's so good.
Again. I think if they replaced Gatorade with Miller Lite during games.
Oh, I like this. It's a great choice.
I mean, it's way more refreshing, first of all.
Way more entertaining. You know what I'm saying?
It would make the games way more entertaining. I'll say that. Yep. Love all right.
It. All right. Take back.
Did you know that Stott's fourth in WAR amongst second basemen?
I did not. Not surprising, though. I mean.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me, is he a top five second baseman in baseball? I'd say, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's good. He's our guy. Although I will say, it was semi jarring that both him and Harper had an over this series.
Oh, I know, dude. Trust me, especially particularly Harper, because when he gets into these zones where he's like the hottest Philly we've ever seen in our lifetime for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is, sometimes longer. Like it is very jarring when he goes cold for a series. It's like I go into this expecting him to just be like 2 for 3 at least with a homer. Like if he doesn't homer, I'm like, what's happening here? No hits. Like what's going on? It is jarring. You like come to count on it on a nightly basis.
And I've already I'm trying to get out in front of the onswell of he hasn't gotten a hit since he came on Marks and Reese.
It worked by you, yeah.
So I would like for this to turn, so we don't have to. You know, I don't need to be blamed if the Phillies if the Phillies season goes awry. Okay.
Yeah, it does seem like you get one way or the other, people are going to come at you with blame or adoration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I would, again.
You have a lot of power over this team. Who knew?
Well, and I've developed quite a few haters. Like, it's like I look at my mentions and I'm like, what are you so mad about? You know what the weirdest criticism of me is?
What?
It's not really criticism. Like, people call me a nerd. And it's like, have you ever listened to me talk? I sound like an idiot. Like, there's not much going on up here.
You're not
like,
very nerdy.
Yeah. Not nerdy. Not nerdy.
No.
There's no nerd.
No.
There's no nerd. Dumb. No. Dumb. There's no nerd.
Yeah, remember being dumb, guys. Come on.
Well, I just think it's just like, there's nothing, I'm a big dude, played sports.
Yeah, you're definitely not a nerd. No, yeah. There's nothing, I'm more nerdy than you are. There's
you're
no
way question. More, you read fiction books.
Many books all the time, yes.
There's no point. There's no point. I love
books.
Anyway.
I love reading books. It's great.
Are we sure? Are we sure the Phils won 10 games in a row on the road?
No, absolutely not. Wasn't it like 11 or 12?
Did it get to 11?
I think it was 12, wasn't it? Because wasn't like the record 13 and they lost to 12 or something like that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it might have been 13 even. Whatever it was, they tied the franchise record and then they lost. So, no, that doesn't seem like it actually happened. No,
it really doesn't. And maybe because everything's turned around at home. 12.
12, yeah. So there you go. Look at me.
Terrible. But like, again, like, I guess because everything changed at home, because at home during that point, I was like, oh, wow, they're tight playing at home. Now it's just like they go on the road and it's like, oh, no.
Well, the ovations changed everything. Dude,
like they're back. Like they think about it. They have a 12 game winning streak or whatever on the road. And they're like two games under 500 on the season on the road.
It's crazy. Well, they were, because that's because they were when they had that. We were talking about like, what is that? They were like 15 under or whatever. Is there 12 under? It's not surprising. Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber has a positive WAR. It's 0.1.
We made it. Congratulations to everyone involved.
Yeah, thank you. Does anything make a baseball announcer happier than when a crafty lefty or like soft tossing righty is having a great game and they can utter the phrase, see, you don't have to throw 98 and strike everyone out. Yeah, nothing makes an announcer happier.
He's getting by on guts and guile out there.
Yeah, yeah, dude. It's
totally.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, shut up. It's so annoying.
Yeah, that dude hit it 115 miles an hour, but he hit it right to the outfielder. All right, dude looks great out there. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't hear that when Wade Miley was allowing a 480-foot home run to JT Realmuto. Or a laser beam to Alec Bohm about how, oh, see, you can get guys out not throwing 98.
It is funny because Wade Miley no hitting them for 5 2/3. We didn't talk about how on brand that was too. You want to talk about vintage. Bits? Like the soft tossing lefty just shutting them down for almost six was like, yep, that's right.
So let me say this.
Tom Eshelman. Is Tom Eshelman coming in to relieve him? What's happening?
Please don't bring up that name. dude, I think that was speaking of former Phillies bits when they'd only draft Cal State Fullerton pitchers because was it Ricky Romero that went there? I believe he was like the goat of Cal State Fullerton. So like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to draft like Connor Siebold.
We're going to get the next Ricky Romero.
we're strictly Cal State Fullerton guys. That's all they draft.
That works. Yep.
Not a fun bit. But I was gonna say, like, I need Wade Miley to be a Philly at one point. Like, just he's just like the perfect fifth starter. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he's actually had a pretty underrated career. Like, you know, for what you, yeah,
he's 3-1-2 ERA.
He's had a nice career, Wade Miley. Yeah,
yeah. For like, again, not like having any.
That's what I mean. No, I'm saying like he's really gotten what he could out of him. Yeah. Shout out to Wade Miley.
So. How much longer until we can start talking about Jeff Hoffman as like
a playoff guy?
Like a guy who I'm not saying the T word, but like a guy late in game, you have a one run lead, two run lead in a playoff game. Like can Jeff Hoffman come in and do that job?
Well, look, I mean, he came in and did it. Like that was a really awesome job he did. I mean, came in bases loaded, up a run, one out, and like got out of the inning. If Alec Bohm makes a play that he normally makes and every third baseman makes, like I think that if Bohm makes that play and they win that game, I think we're talking that. I think people are having the Jeff Hoffman conversation more.
But he's also really good yesterday. Like
he's just good. If you're just asking me, would I trust Jeff? Yeah, I would. I would trust Jeff Hoffman to come into a big game in a big spot right now.
Well, and they fixed something mechanically with him, because like even when he was good when he first got up here, still felt like he would walk the ballpark. But now he's kind of doing what Alvarado did last year, where he stopped walking people and like just said, I'm going to fill up the strike zone. And you should, Jeff. You throw 97 with a wipeout slider. Just
and the slider is nasty.
It looks like it's increased in movement too. Like they figured out something.
They must have, because it's looked like a devastating pitch lately. Like it looked awesome a couple nights.
Yeah,
I'm liking the
Jeff Hoffman experience.
Me too.
And then final thing in the take bag is the Contreras ball in the eighth. It really did give me some hope for the Yordan Alvarez home run. Like, you want to know why I thought that was a pop up? Is because I thought that Contreras ball was 450.
I did too, for what it's worth. I didn't think it was 450, but I was like, that's definitely gone. Like, gone. I'm happy you brought this up though, because going back to the Jay, can we very quickly talk about how annoying it is to watch a game at Miller Park with the home runs? Like, you couldn't back center field up, like, a little bit.
Oh, it's
like,
so dumb.
It's like you never know if it's a home run or not. So did it bounce? Did it hit the wall? Like, what the hell happened? It's so annoying to watch a game there. Like, fix your freaking stadium.
Well, that's dumb. The home run in Minute Maid. You have no idea if that's a home run.
No idea. I hate that.
The Brewer Stadium is horrible for that.
It's horrible. Like, it's when you're watching on TV and like sometimes the camera won't catch how high it goes, and it's like it like kind of just drops, and it's like, wait, did it bounce off the wall? Where good? Did it just land? Like, it's so annoying.
Chase Field is the same thing, where it's like if you hit it off the fence, like it has to be over that line.
I hate it. Like, just can we not, guys? Can we not?
Just have a real ballpark.
Have a real ballpark. Well said, Jack. It's a great take. All right. You got any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is, again, who cares about the little football team that starts on Sunday?
Mm.
Like, we got an important.
Yes, this is good. Yes. This will go over well in this city. I like it.
Yeah. Can you just wake me up in November?
With you on just like getting through September though. Like, you know, honestly, the first two games of this series, I was like, no, man. Like, I know.
I don't know
that you're not going to do this. I still don't know that you're not going to do this. Like, no, just like a very strong, firm no.
When they lost Saturday, I was like, just end it. Like,
We're not doing this.
I do not want to watch you. Yeah. I love you. You are my favorite thing in the world. I loathe the September Phillies. Like, it's coupled with, like, basically September's, it's what they do in like freaking May too or whatever. It's just the heightened sense of this is for the entire baseball season. It's like, oh, it's a long season. Like, they'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden September hits. Like, well, it's not really anymore. Like, we got to sprint to the finish. Like, it's awful. But yes, the Eagles are back Sunday. So,
yeah.
Fun.
Go Phils. We'll be back this week. React to Sandy. Like, this is a big series for our psyches too. It's like West Coast, you know, second straight road series. Like, this is a classic break our hearts series in September. So if they can win 2 of 3, I'll feel damn good.
Please do that.
All right. We'll be back later in the week. Until then, he's Fritz himself.